There was a big boxing match on Saturday between Tyson Fury, Deontay Wilder, the third edition of that fight. First fight, it was a split decision. And then the second fight, happened January, February of 2020. And Tyson Fury gets WBC belt in that fight after a stoppage in the seventh or eighth round because Wilder, I think, pretty sure his eardrum burst or something. He was bleeding from his ear. And then Fury was obviously dominant for the rest of it. And then just because, Wilder was completely thrown off, coach throws in the towel. That wasn't going to happen this time. And it, for the sake of those guys' legacy, it was probably a good idea. It was just an insane fight. And, you know, it's kind of, historically, I can't rate, oh, this fight's over that fight, because I just haven't looked into it enough. But if I'm looking at just this fight in particular, it was, I mean, it's slow, like a slow start. First and second round, I think they were just getting warmed up into it. But then third round, Tyson Fury knocks Deontay Wilder down once, maybe twice, to where he earns. I thought it was a 10-8 round in that aspect. And then out of nowhere, when it looked like Wilder, okay, this may be a repeat of the second fight from a year and a half ago, it turns it around, knocks Fury down twice in one round, gets basically a 10-8, 10-7 round, really goes back into the fight. From there, you know, fifth round was, Wilder gets that one too, but then that's when Fury really starts to pick it up. Maybe the effects of gaining the 7 pounds in muscle from last fight to this fight for Deontay Wilder could have played an effect, could have really weakened his legs a little bit. But I think the thing that Fury's coach emphasized was to kind of work the jab, like just start to wear him down. Don't really go for the big punch right away. Don't leave yourself open, stuff like that. And it worked out. I mean, it worked out well, because that's what he did. He was utilizing the jab. And then once Wilder started to get really tired, started to lower the arms a little bit, open himself up more, that's when Fury started to go into it, get him up against the ropes there, really put the pressure on. You know, Wilder tried his last ditch efforts to get a punch in there, but at that point he was kind of losing power in his punches, starting to really, really get the fatigue. I mean, so was Fury though. I mean, both of these guys were just draining, absolutely draining the tank, emptying the tank. And but eventually, 11th round, this is a 12 round fight, these championship fights, Fury does the final punches, knocks out Wilder's face down. So Fury retains the belt. And there was obviously some skepticism that this fight would even happen, because it was initially scheduled that it would be Tyson Fury versus Anthony Joshua. And the interesting thing about that is that Anthony Joshua instead fights Oleksandr Usyk from Ukraine, and Usyk pulls off the upset over Joshua to get those belts and is a heavyweight champion in his own right. And now Anthony Joshua is kind of fooling around. Apparently there's going to be a rematch, so it's going to be Usyk Joshua 2, and that will have some implications. I'll get to that in a sec. But at this point, Fury is the dominant boxer when it comes to the WBC crown and all that. Wilder, I think at this point you just have to kind of take a back seat with him, and until we have absolute unification of the belts, because that's what people want, right? You want all four belts to be up for grabs in one fight and kind of go from there. So you have Fury that moves on. Apparently there's a rumor that Fury will be ordered to fight the winner, well, most likely Dylan White, who I guess Dylan White is probably the fifth best heavyweight fifth or sixth best heavyweight in the world. But Dillian Whyte will fight what the hell is his name? Olin, Ali Wallen, or what? Why am I drawing a blank? Olin Waller. Otto Wallen. I just drew a complete blank on his name. So Dillian Whyte versus Otto Wallen, who's a Swedish boxer. Whyte, I guess, likely to win that if they're talking the unification or the title fight between Fury and Whyte, but who knows? I mean, like I said, you just had Anthony Joshua lose to Usyk. So say Whyte does win, it would be Fury versus Whyte. I would think Fury should be able to win that one pretty easily, pretty handily. So say that happens, then it would likely be Fury versus the winner of Usyk Joshua 2. You know, I think at this point you would rather see Usyk just based off of recent history and how he got the win against Joshua recently. And then I think the thing that just is gonna hurt Joshua's resume forever was a loss to Andy Ruiz, just a boxer who just looked completely out of shape, two different body statures, and somehow Joshua gets upset there. So that's like the one just scar on Joshua's resume that just is like, can he really go up against Fury and have it be the thing? But that's the problem, is that he gets upset. He had a fight in line before the commission ordered that Fury and Wilder fight again for the third fight. So it's just like kind of an SOL situation for Joshua. But he can get the belts back, and then because I think it's IBF, WBO, WBA. Those three belts are up for grabs in that Usyk Joshua fight. So that's what we want in probably, hopefully, a year's time. It's Fury or versus Usyk or Joshua for all four belts, and then you can kind of have your fun of, you know, maybe getting Wilder back in there, or, you know, Whyte, I guess. Probably not, though. But that then allows for a little bit more freedom. I think you just have to get that unification bout there and then go from there. That would be the best thing that happened, especially for heavyweight boxing since the Tyson era. So that's what I'm looking for. But yeah, just to sum up, that fight on Saturday was awesome. I'm glad I was able to see it live. And well, not like live, actually, like watching the fight in Vegas, that would be absurd. But live on TV, and credit to Fury, man. The guy has size. Doesn't look like he's the most fit person, but he is one heck of a boxer. And you know, at some point here, we may consider him one of the all time greats. Not necessarily doesn't have the, you know, quite the skill set of an Ali or boxers like that back in the day. But you got to give credit where credit's due still. Sports can't occur without a little bit of controversy. And oh boy, we are having it with the NFL, in particular with a couple of coaches. And now, based on the actions and what happened to a certain coach, we're going to hopefully have the emergence and unveiling of some other problematic things dealing with a football team and its owners and higher ups. But so the first thing is Urban Meyer, and this was a big thing that happened after their loss to Cincinnati after the Thursday night game last week, Urban Meyer, for some reason, you're the head coach of the team. Why the hell aren't you traveling back with the team to Jacksonville? But anyway, he stays in Ohio and is caught in his own bar, in his own establishment near the Columbus, Ohio area. You know, close to this one girl or whatever, not his wife. And yeah, so that's like, it's just, it's unbelievable. Like, how do you, like, if you just get on the plane, head back to Jacksonville, you're not dealing with a problem like that. And then you're just, they're stupid. Apparently he was, what were they saying? Like 4, 5, 6 martinis in at that point. So maybe judgment was a little off, but still, that is, oh, and another thing in the bar, I think there's pictures up above, on a certain wall, and it's Urban Meyer and his wife, Shelley. And that's just, like, it just makes it even worse. Like, it's just, I don't know. It's one of those things to where, like, you can't, it's just unfathomable to think of, like, that could actually happen. But Urban Meyer just never tends to avoid controversy or being in the news for certain things. So that happens, returns to the team, super apologetic and stuff, like a humiliating experience, obviously. Apparently, it seems like, if we're talking Urban Meyer and his wife, Shelley, that they're going to get through whatever the hell's going to go on here, be able to work out whatever the hell happened, and they're going to get through it. But yeah, like, it just, yeah, just absolutely, it's just, it blows my mind that he would do that. Anyway, so there was a video that the Jaguars were breaking a huddle after practice or whatever, and I believe the word to break the huddle was grind, which is just, I mean, that's a smart comedy right there. So the players were joking around with that, having their fun. I don't think by any means it was a fireable offense by the Jaguars to Urban Meyer, but Shad Khan, the owner, 100% emphasized, like, listen, you gotta get the trust of the team back here. Like, you're supposed to be the leader. What the hell are you doing? Like, your character took an absolute shot with this move. And especially, like, hearing Tim Tebow's reaction, who Tim Tebow played for Urban Meyer when Urban Meyer coached at Florida. Obviously, he had his stint with the Jaguars in the training camp and preseason before he got cut. And he was talking to it, like, as if, like, he was family and stuff like that. Like, just kind of made Tebow, like, sick to his stomach, that this happened. And that's one thing that, you know, it's bad when Tim Tebow is kind of on your case about it. But so it is what it is. So that's the one coaching controversy there with Urban Meyer, the Jaguars. Things hopefully are going to get back in the right direction. There we go. But I mean, the Jaguars are 0-5 now. Who do they play next? I think, are they in the, oh, typical London game? It seems like the London games are always just a little are a bit crappy, because you had the Jets and Falcons last week. Both teams were 1-3. And then now you have the Dolphins and Jaguars. Dolphins 1-4, Jaguars 0-5. Looking at it now, I can't believe the Patriots lost to the Dolphins in Week 1, but that was, I mean, credit the Dolphins game plan. And yeah, Damian Harris fumbled towards the end of the game there, but I don't want to get sidetracked. I think it's there's a big question mark if Urban Meyer's going to last one season with this team, especially the way like the health problems he was having with the stress and everything at Ohio State and the way Ohio State was winning during that. It's unbelievable, like to kind of think how bad or what's going on with Meyer and his stress. Like, is the health going to start to be an issue if they keep losing and stuff? So we'll just see how it goes. But yeah, I think at this point it's just like you gotta like re-earn the trust, build that character again, and hope for the best. But yeah, not looking too great with Urban Meyer and the Jacksonville Jaguars. So now, and this was last night, this was with the Raiders, John Gruden, who I don't know how this unraveled. I'm not sure what the timeline was, but there was emails about 10 years ago when Gruden was an employee. I think at that point he was done coaching with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers because he ended in 2010. This was 2011 when he started working for ESPN. I don't know if he was in the Monday Night Football booth yet, hired there. But anyway, he hired he is emailing from his personal email to the Demoris Smith, who's the head of the Players Association, and other league officials like Commissioner Roger Goodell even. And the first thing that came out was these racist tropes that were used in regards to Demoris Smith, the size of his lips and stuff like that, that Gruden just stupidly decided to throw that in an email. But there was more than just racism. You had homophobia, misogyny, criticism of players who are kneeling for the national anthem. So he covered all the bases in this hate-filled email, whatever the hell was going on. I think some of these were from, if I'm not mistaken, 2014. So this was over a decent span of time, I guess. But at that point it was, and the biggest news is obviously Gruden resigned as head coach from the Las Vegas Raiders, and he was gonna probably get fired anyway because Mark Davis, who is the son of former Raiders owner Al Davis, is super adamant about protecting the brand his father built and not doing anything to diminish it. So likely Gruden would have been out anyway, resign, fire, whatever you want to call it. He would have been out. And that's just like, it really sums up, I guess, a now horrible deal that the Raiders made at the 10-year, $10 million contract. And not a winning record, zero postseason appearances. And yeah, into his third season or whatever. So just not good. And there'll be I'm drawing a blank on the name of their now interim head coach, but from a team that just started 3-0 and now has lost their last two, I believe. It's tough to say that they're going to be able to rebound properly and be a legit contender in the playoffs and all that now. I think at this point, with this wrench that got thrown in there, you really have to question if they're even going to make the playoffs at this point, especially in a division like the AFC West that's super competitive with the Chargers, who Justin Herbert in his second year is continuing the trend that he set in his rookie season. The Chiefs still in there. I know they're struggling at 2-3 right now, but you still have Patrick Mahomes in that offense. And then the Denver Broncos, you know, their offense is a little lackluster, but their defense is still solid. So just in the division, that's going to be problematic. And then obviously the challenging opponents that they may have in the rest of their schedule, not going to be good. So, but yeah, like you can't be using like homophobic slurs in these emails. I know that was like, you can't even pull the excuse of like, if you're want to pick that side, you can't even use the excuse that, that was 10 years ago, you know, different times. Like, no, it wasn't. It's a good move. And, you know, it's unfortunately it's going to stop a Raiders season that did have some promise early on. It may very well stop that in its tracks. Is there anything else I want to add before I move on to the next point here? Of course. So with the homophobia part of it, you have the only openly gay athlete in the NFL on your roster, and you have in defensive end Carl Nassib, and then you have your head coach, the supposed leader of the team, who has these past remarks. Not a good look whatsoever. When you hit basically the trifecta or grand slam, however many items he talked about or is now criticized, and the reason why he's fired, resigned, whatever. He covered everything, and it made it super easy to get him out of the job. And it's, you know, it kind of brings up the question, like, even if he had those, if he just had the racist tropes in the emails, and that was it, that was all they found, like, would he still be coaching? And I think he would, which, you know, obviously that's not a good look either, but it was everything was thrown in those emails, and yeah, for the betterment of the Raiders, of the league, Gruden's out. Probably never gonna, or I guess hopefully at this point, we'll never have a head coaching job or any job in football again. You know, just go kind of off into retirement at this point. Now, the unveiling and revealing of the basically, I think, hundreds of thousands of emails that came out of this or whatever. The attention is now being brought up about the Washington football team, owner Daniel Snyder, and other front office executives associated with the team. And there was basically questions into, okay, so all this Gruden stuff came out. Why the hell is the Washington situation being kept so quiet? You know, is there like hush money with owner Daniel Snyder? Like, how the hell is that working out? And you know, these emails that Washington was exchanging amongst its front office staff is, you know, definitely covers the misogyny part of it, and just general offensiveness to women, and where I think one of the many things included were like topless pics of cheerleaders or just women in general. So obviously not the type of stuff you are going to have in professional emails, any email or conversation when you're that high up in an organization, that important, all that stuff. So hopefully the attention and the unraveling of this controversy with the Washington football team, it happens to where, you know, basically the NFL doesn't give Daniel Snyder a free pass. Now he stepped away from some of his duties, gave that over to his wife. But the family still owns the team. And at a certain point, just with everything that the reporting that's been done on this, on the Washington football team, the toxicity of this organization that Snyder runs, I think once everything, well, hopefully everything gets put out there that Schneider will no longer be the owner of the Washington football team. But it is super tough to do, and it's much different from a head coach like John Gruden when the owners are have so much power, so much money. You know, it takes a lot. Like, it's possible, no doubt, that Schneider can be out, but there has to be severe circumstances to where it's like the Jerry Richardson, the former owner of the Carolina Panthers, how he was basically just like harassment in that front office and all that, and with drawing a blank. Had Schneider, Richardson. Oh, and oh my gosh, LA Clippers. Donald Sterling with his blatant racism in recordings and stuff. So there, unfortunately, there needs to be a severe thing that gets an owner out of the thing. Like if you know, obviously, I'm a Patriots fan, but with Robert Kraft and what happened with his situation, obviously not severe enough to give of the ownership, but it basically powerful enough to get out of any of the legal situation ramifications that might have happened. So yeah, for unfortunately the way it is, owners, it has to be severe, and hopefully there's going to be some deep dives by reporters, even deeper than it was before with previous reporting, to get Schneider or to just fix that organization in general, because it is not the way you want to run a football team. And it's just completely old fashioned and not of the time. So that's what I really want to see happen, is the crackdown of the Washington football team, the NFL, you know, getting out of their seat and really putting action forth to fix the problem that's going on with that organization, with the owner and Daniel Schneider, to where he is out of that ownership and they get the organization, that brand gets a restart.